everybody. Come on. Listen. If you aren't moved right now, like if you couldn't like worship without me right now, if you couldn't like do the rest of the worship service and just sit in the sweet spirit of Jesus, you need to check your pulse, all right? Because that was holy right there. Come on. That was yummy. Some delicious action going on there. Ah! I got to tell you, folks, the devil is trying. And he is scratching. He's leaving scars and bruises. But I got to tell you something else. Jesus is winning. And he is winning. He always wins. Unless you choose to let him not win. That's the end. I'm not being mean. I opened my devotional Monday. True story. Monday. And I had to catch up over the weekend because I'm not here. It sits on my desk. And the first was kind of over the weekend. And this is the last Monday. And I opened it up right after I talked to y'all about the spiritual warfare. And we had a time of prayer. And I opened it up. And it was like Satan's attacks. That was the whole month's title. All right. And then I'm reading the little quote that goes with it. And it's like, if you want to live this life free of Satan's hold, you've got to listen. Road signs don't protect people. Following them does. And I thought I was going to lose it. I want you to think about what I just said because some of you didn't get it. Road signs don't protect people. Following them does. Jesus and the Scripture don't keep you from running into troubles in your life. Listening to Jesus in the Scripture and obeying Him does. Having said that, glory. God is faithful to us in our time of need by putting us exactly where we need to be in the Word. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Have you ever been in the proverbial valley? Anybody been in the proverbial valley? You ever felt like, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you going, you at work, you at play, but it don't feel like it. You ever been in the desert of this life? You know what I'm talking about? Nothing is going right. There are people around you that love you. There is a church that you're attending that is, things are going well, but man, your spiritual mouth is parched. Your heart is parched. You feel like David in the cave. I wanted to say the bat cave just for fun. You feel like David in the cave crying out, God, where in the are you? Some of y'all look at me like, can the preacher do that? If you don't think that's the way David was feeling, you need to reread the Scripture. We're not honest. We're not honest about the place some of these people were in. When you are a man after God's own heart and you have committed adultery that has been made public and you have murdered a man and that has been made public and you are, you know, David, your things aren't going well. And for us to go, oh, he was in kind of a bad spot. Really? A bad spot. That's how they're dictating it these days. How many of you have felt sometime in your life like you knew what a bad spot really looked like? Can I get a witness? And Solomon yelling over and over again about how meaningless it is, climbing the ladder of popularity only to find that he hit his head. Climbing the ladder of food and drink only to find that he got fat and drunk. Climbing the ladder of women only to find that it didn't satisfy. No offense, ladies. Climbing the ladder. And all he can come up with is meaningless, meaningless. This is meaningless. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what the heck? Anybody been there? Am I preaching to the choir? Or does the valley of the shadow of what the heck exist for you? Because I've been there. I've been there. Wanting to be out on the road. wanting to be preaching the gospel, wanting to be ministered to people's lives, and broken as I will get out, wasted as not wasted in the term you're thinking, but wasting away internally, hating some of the things that I had become, attending church but not being at church, raising a family but not being a part of a family, working with weights and pampered chef, making good use of all that God hath done for me. The valley of the shadow of, man, this, I'll use the word stinks just to, you know, but it's worse than that, and y'all know it. Last week he says, man, oppression, toil, friendlessness, it's all horrific. And then he says, but you can do it together. You know what we do? Come on, church, tell me if this isn't us. You know what we do? We hit the valley and we show up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We hit the valley and we show up. We call our friends, we call our neighbors, we include them in, we hold hands and we sing Kumbaya. And then 6 months later, we wonder why it doesn't work. You know what I'm talking about? 6 months later, you jump in churches. 6 months later, you're not talking to your friends. 6 months later, you're going, but we sang Kumbaya, but we listened to the preacher, but you're going on to the next thing because it didn't work. You ready for this? The way I thought it should. See, the problem is not whether or not God's speaking. The problem is he ain't saying what you want to hear, so you ain't listening. If it isn't, you are the woman. You get to be with this person. Your children are healed and your marriage is fine. Then you block it out. Let me tell you something. There's never been a time in the history of the universe where God has spoken what you wanted to hear. It might have been that he spoke what he needed to say and you heard him. But this morning, I need you to listen. Because in this strange roundabout ecclesiastical way, he walks through our stupidity, our selfishness, and this thing that I just described to you all, if you read chapter 5, you probably wouldn't catch it. But he actually tells us why it's happening and how to, for lack of a better word, suck it up, buttercup. Leslie Melton's favorite phrase. We saw a shirt that said that in Gatlinburg this week, and I was like, Christmas present, Leslie. Suck it up, buttercup. In the friendliest way ever. Leslie's one of those people that can say that to you and you're going, thank you, might I have another? You know? Again. I knew another lady like that. Oh, Diane Cobb. She could just. Anyway, listen. I had to make notes because I was overwhelmed. Y'all know that I can, I don't know why I can, but I can stand here and I can talk and keep going and the scripture comes and the spirit moves and I say, today I couldn't because I think I was learning more than I thought I was going to learn. Does that make sense? There was so much about my life, so much about the lives of people that I care about, and I was like, this is going to be more of a really big small group than it's going to be a sermon, okay? But we need it. I need it, okay? I need it. Maybe you don't need it. Humor me for the next 20 minutes, okay? Everybody at chapter 5? Okay. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Guard your steps. The Hebrew there literally means pay attention, okay? Keep a lookout. Stand guard, all right? Not stand guard. You're paying attention to what's going on around you. So here's what we're learning in the first verse, all right? If you're in the desert, you might want to take a look at where your feet are going. Because unless you're incredibly Gumby-esque, where your feet are going, there your head is going, your heart is going, and your eyes are looking. Now, on occasion, if you're like me, you're like, because that's the way I am. But for the most part, where your feet go, there goes the rest of you. And Solomon's saying, maybe you're finding yourself in the desert because you're putting yourself every place but the place that will get you out of the desert. Why don't you look at where you find your feet taking you? Where are you going? Who are you going with? How long are you dwelling there? And is there spiritually taking you further from or closer to God? Because if not, there's a reason you're still in the desert. When sin takes hold, we quit closing in and relying on the things that most help us get out of sin. You know why? Because we're afraid of the confrontation of that sin. You ever notice when people are starting to dabble in sin a little bit? A little gossip, a little sexual sin, a little marriages falling apart. They show up less than they do more. Think about it. Think about it. They're in church less often than they are here more often. They're in small group less often than they are more. They call me less often than they used to call me. When sin covers you, the things that call out that sin, the light that shines in the darkness, is covered by the shade you're throwing. Ooh, that was modern, wasn't it? When you find yourself pushing away the people that care about you the most and will spiritually drive you the most, the problem is probably inside your heart. And some of you guys, when I get this way with you, you get a little touchy and nose turned uppy at me. Wonder why. Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner." Been happening since the New Testament. Wait, it's been happening since the Old Testament. Find the things that stir your affection for Christ and surround yourself with those things. Find the things that stir your affection for God and surround yourself with those things. And find out what things pull you away from the heart of God and cleanse yourself of those things. You know what we want to do? We want to put one hand in the spirit pot and we want to keep hold of this. And you wonder why your life feels broken. Because sin can have no part with God and God can have no part with sin. And so as you try to hold on to both, and they are doing what magnets do when they're turned backwards. They are pulling away from each other, and it's tearing you apart. It's tearing your children apart. It's tearing your families apart. It's tearing your church apart because you're trying to hold on to both. Guard your feet. Well, I don't like this very much. I hear you. That's why he says verse 2. Do not be quick with your mouth. And do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. He is set apart from anything that we can understand. Beyond the sun, under the sun. And you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when he runs through many words. You know what Solomon says second? Guard your feet and then shut up and listen. But I can pray. Oh, get to the point. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you so much for my church family. I'd like to thank you for the microphones and the singing this morning. I'd like to thank you for my friends that came to visit last night. And Father God, if you could, please give me some wisdom for today. Amen. Why couldn't you just say, give me wisdom? Do you hear me? This is what we've lost. This is what David lost when he was in the cave. You know what David was doing while he was in the cave? Oh, Heavenly Father, this Psalm number 17 I write to Thee as I feel vanquished by my foes. Thee, Psalm 19 I write to me, blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. I shall prepare 29 verses and speak them to you in the hopes that you will draw near to me. Do you know what he finally did? He finally looked up at God and said, where the f*** are you? And God went, waiting for you to stop all that eloquent crap and cry out to me. Verse 2. Shut up! With your blah de blah de blah de blah de blah de and just say, I'm hurting! Thank you. Now we can deal with it. Y'all have that friend in your group? That friend that, you know, every time you run into them, you ain't getting where you're going. You know what I'm talking about? You get to the Walmart, you're trying to get like two things. You get that one thing, you get the second thing, and then they turn the corner. You were supposed to be home in 25 minutes. You didn't get home until 2.5 hours later. If you don't know who I'm talking about, it's you. We pastors have it a little differently. Don't any of y'all get offended. It's just true. We pastors have it differently. You know what happens to us? We stand up here or at the door. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody. Thank you, Pastor. Good job, preacher. Good to see you, preacher. Good to see you, preacher. And then all of a sudden, that hand. Yesterday. No, let me start with last year. We bought the cutest kitten. We named it Fluffy. We named it Fluffy because he was fluffy. My daughter called him Fluffy. My son didn't like it, but we called him Fluffy. 28 minutes later, could you please play for Fluffy? He has a hairball. There are 48 people behind you in line. And you just spent 28 minutes to say, pray for my cat's hairball. You laugh because you know these people. You laugh harder because you know that's us when it comes to Jesus. Hey, I just want you to remember, God, that I did the children's ministry thing. I did the worship pastor thing. I did the parent thing. I did the music ministry thing. I did the tithing thing. I did the offering thing. So the fact that I'm not in love with my spouse right now, could you just help fix that, please? You know what God's looking at you like? What did you just say? Do not make a vow with God on this earth. They're words. They're words. Shut up and do. You spend 30 minutes talking about what you want to get fixed. Do you know what I want to say to you? Hit the cat hard on the back. Well, I just don't want to hurt him. Oh my God, don't come to me then. If you're not going to do what I suggest that you do, don't come. That's you all get it right there, right? You sit in my office, you explain everything for 40 minutes. You could have just said, my marriage is hurting, and then I can say, here's how you fix it. But if you're not going to do what I say do, then don't waste my time. This is what God's saying. Shut up, listen, and then act on it. Stop talking about it. You're in the desert because you want to wah, 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 wah. You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Be careful how you answer that. Are the scriptures true or not? Oh, you happy? You say yes, coming out of the crowd. Are you sure? Do you believe that they're true? Are they true even when you're lost in sin? Are they true even when they tell you what you don't want to do? Are they true even when they pull you away from where your heart thinks it needs to go? Are they true even when they take your child? Are they true even when you lose your spouse? Are they true even when you get that disease? Are they true or not? Because there is no halfway. You either believe it or you don't. And the bottom line is, your mouth doesn't tell me or anyone else whether you believe it or not. Your actions do. Shut up and listen. Watch where your feet are going. Shut up and listen. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Stop going around the issue, running circles over the issue. Deal with the issue. And we'll get somewhere. I am sweating. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. This is about the do. Okay? He says, shut up and do. Now he's telling you how and when to do. Okay? Do not delay when you make a vow to God. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. We had a little bit of a talk this morning about Baptists in Coffee and Covenant. All right? We could go on all day about Baptists, not Baptists, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I wish we could get past that and do church. Okay? Just think of Baptists as a partnership with a lot of other people. Outside of that, don't worry about it. We a church, we the scripture, that's where we are. If one of the higher-ups at the Baptist Convention called me up and said, do you believe in the Baptist faith and message? I would answer honestly. Most of it. When was the last time you looked at it? I haven't. Why not? Because I've got a Bible. Anything else? I'm a really bad political Baptist. I don't care. Okay? So, having said that, we had this conversation about that today. Okay? Baptists are traditionally a bit touchy when it comes to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. They're a bit standoffish, okay? The problem is they all know Him. They've all felt Him. They've all heard from Him. And you ready for this? And they've all told me about it. Well, preacher, I've never come to you and said, yes, you have. Let me explain. When I actually follow the Scripture, preach something out of the Scripture, you walk up to me and you say, oh, man, the Word of God was speaking to me today. And it told me, that's the Spirit. And you just told me about it. Here's the problem. Did you do anything about it? Or did you tell somebody you were going to, or tell me you were going to, or did God tell you to, and you just sat there on the pew like a bump on a pickle, going, I believe the Spirit's speaking. Don't just sit there. Do something. Do something. Don't tell me you're going to do something. Do something. Don't let the Spirit tell you you're going to do something. Do something. Here's the thing. When God speaks to you and you respond to Him, guess what that is? That is a vow between the heart of His creation and the heart of the Creator. When He speaks to you and you ignore Him, you are ignoring the vow between you and Him. And what you're doing is you're blowing sunshine into the Holy Spirit's attitude and then leaving it alone. You were a little afraid of the word attitude, weren't you? That was fun. You were scared, weren't you? Into the Holy Spirit's attitude. No, I didn't even think it. Blowing sunshine into Jesus. And he's going, it's like glitter. Then what? Then what? Here's what you do. You blow sunshine, and then you pray a week later and say, I can't believe you left me here. And he's looking at you going, I can't believe you didn't do squat. I told you what to do. You didn't do it. What do you want from me? When teaching resonates in the soul, your response occurs in that moment. Anything other than that is pretending. It is doing what the Baptists and the Methodists and church people all over the world have learned to do. It is God is speaking to me, but I'm going to slide this mask of perfection down. I'm going to slide this mask of Baptistness down. I'm going to slide this mask of I'm as good as you are and you're as good as I am, and we've gotten perfectly good at masking ourselves in front of everyone. Do you know why? Because it's easier to pretend than it is to say I'm broken. It's easier to hide than it is to take off all your clothes and say, this is me and all my scars. But nothing about pretending and nothing about hiding is church. Because you dressed up as a ghoul didn't make you a ghoul. Because you dressed up as a witch didn't make you a witch. But I can tell you that pretending every Sunday makes you fake. And you wonder why you're in the desert. Because we're dealing with who you're showing us and not who you are. And the problem is not me. Oh, don't get me wrong. I got my own issues. I got my own masks. But you cannot deny this one thing. I have started to rip them off right in front of you. From right here. I have borne my garbage. Where you at? You gonna leave me hanging out here? You gonna be the church? Oh, here's the problem. Oh, yes, preacher. We'd like to come help you. We're going to help you, and that's going to make us all better. No, it's not. There's your problem. No, it's not. You're going to run to me with your masks on and try to help me with my garbage that I'm unveiled over, and you're no help because you're sick too. And we wonder why we're in the desert. You want to get out? Go places God is. Listen to things God says. Respond with actions and not words. And stop faking the actions. But much dreaming and many words are meaningless, but stand in awe of God. Oh, there's a way out, but there's a caveat. And most preachers would stop before they got here. Oh, no. You all know me better than that, and you've heard me say what I'm going to say now. You know what I hate more than anything? My wife, both of these two ladies right here could probably tell you. You know what I hate? You know what angers me more than anything? If you tell me you're going to do something and you do not do it. Listen, the reason it angers me is because I will walk you through it. You come to me and you say, hey, I'm gonna come and spray your driveway off. What day? Tuesday. Are you sure Tuesday's good for you? I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, Tuesday's good. What time? 3. You sure it's 3? Yeah, 3. You sure? 3. Okay, no problem. How long is it going to take you? 20 minutes. All right, you sure? You need an hour? No, I can do it in 20 minutes. So Tuesday, 3 o'clock, 20 minutes. And you show up Friday for 3 hours. I'm ticked. If you'd have said, well, Craig, what if I'd have told you I couldn't get to it till Friday? I'd have said, I'll see you Friday. If you've ever dealt with me, Oh, hi, 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 welcome, welcome. If you've ever dealt with me, Carolyn has listened to me do this on the phone. Randy has watched me do it. I'm in the middle of dealing with the nightmare of doing it now. I'm dealing with it. All I'm asking is that you do what you say, no more, no less, and I will do what I say. And when I do not, I will call you, write you, pay you. I will do everything that it takes to reevaluate where we are. But here's the thing with God. You're not him. And at the end of the day, even if you listen, even if you walk, even if you go, that thing that you think is at the end of the tunnel might not be there. Everybody else wants to tell you it will. I can't. The reason I can't is because I'm not him. And I'd give anything to tell you that if we pray just enough and we give just enough and we'd serve just enough, your baby's going to live. But I don't know. I can tell you that if God chooses to take him, I'll never get it, but I know he was right and we weren't. Did you hear me? Craig, how could you say that? Because he's never wrong. No matter what it is, he's right. And he's just, and he's loving. And this is what the Bible means when it says you need to fear God, and fear of the Lord is wisdom. But his plans are still to prosper. He has not forgotten us. He's with you through the fire and the flood. And he's faithful forever. Perfect in love. Sovereign over us. Sometimes he gives the wilderness. Sometimes it's a gift. Sometimes the pain. It's an opportunity. The closer we get to him, the more we will understand that. I want you to hear me very closely this morning. I know that God has spoken to you. I know that he has. Because his word is alive. And because we are a people of masks, and a people of pain, and we're in a season where the devil is trying to lead us into the wilderness as a body. And whether or not Mike's personally there, because he loves me, and because he loves the people, he's going there too. He is. And Miss Pat, she's going there too. And Chris and Char, they're going to come there too, whether personally or with our family, because they're a part of this. That's what the last chapter was talking about. Community. But this chapter is, stop hiding. Stop telling me, oh, I was blessed. Oh, it was good. Oh, I'm gonna. Oh, I should. Oh, I am. Oh, shut up. Do. You're gonna play? Play. You're gonna sing? Sing. You're gonna serve? Serve. You're gonna give? Give. Stop talking about it. Just do it. Well, what if? No, what ifs. The Bible is true or it isn't. The end. It's that simple for me. It's that simple for my family. The covenant is that simple. Why do you tell it? Because the Bible says. That's why it's so, that's why it works. But Craig, why do you print it? Because the Bible says it. Well, I don't know what you want to say. So I'm sure that God has spoken to you today. And I don't care if you like me for what I'm about to say or not. But I can't make announcements after a message like this. Do you know why? Because there's something you need to do. I don't know what it is. I'm not you. It's not my mask. But I know I'll be there when you take it off. And I know I'll stay no matter what's underneath. So more of you than are going to admit it this morning need to find yourself on your knees before the Lord. And if you need me, you come get me. If you need Todd, Johnny, Damon, Carolyn, Amber, Jamie, come get them. But we're going to take a few minutes and separate the talkers from the walkers. Cindy's going to play. God's Spirit's going to speak. And you are going to choose. I can only make the same promise that God made. I might not be able to change it, but I'll be there. I will be with you. That was the promise at the end of the Great Commission. Not money, not power, not fame, not easy. I'll be there. I'm with you. In the fire and the flood. Faithful forever. Sovereign. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. How will you respond? How will you start your journey over the next few days or weeks out of the wilderness? It starts at the altar. With making a move toward God. It starts with the truth. I'll give you time. Dear sweet church, I could be wrong, but I'm going to say something here as we finish. One of three things is happening this morning. Number one, everybody in here is unmasked and got it going on. You're good. Everybody in here. Perfect. Number two, you're paralyzed by the desert. And that is okay, because we've all been there. My prayer is that you will find strength in Him and that you will call me. You will write to me. You will show up at the office. Or number three, and this is the one I think that is most likely. Craig, it's just weird. It's just weird. If I get up, I'm going to be the only one getting up. If I get up, somebody might look at me. If I get up, it might, we're not Pentecostals here. It's just weird. I love you. That's the one I can't deal with. Because until we get past that, there's a city full of people who are going to wonder how to get well if the people who know how to get well can't do it. What I can promise you is I don't beg, I don't plead, I'm not an evangelist, we're not singing 27 verses, and I will not force you to do anything. It's too childish to me. It's too manipulative of me. I too much ability with words. I ain't doing it. I've said it for 4 years. You're coming or you're not. You're in it or you're not. You're ready or you're not. I'll be here when you are. I'm going to ask Amber and Britt if they'll come up here, because I can't think of a more perfect way or a more perfect song. And Todd, we're going to start with that second group of choruses, go through the bridge, and then finish with the choruses. His plans are still to prosper, even with the enemy. Back to his plans are still to prosper. And when you're ready, you can sing. I love you very much. As soon as they're done, we're done. Okay?